Let's pray and then we'll sing some of these songs. What's that, Mrs. Bradford?
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for this new day and for what we accomplished and for the inspiration and the help. And I pray your good hand upon us as we spend this time around your word. I love you and thank you. Pray that you be with us and brothers and sisters wherever they might be. And I pray that you would lift up those that need lifted up. That you would chasten those that need chastening, comfort, Lord, those that are downcast, and restore backsliders, Lord. We save lost souls. Please, Lord, for all the leaflets and the words that have gone out, I pray you, Father, that they find a place in people's hearts. I love you and praise you. Thank you for watching over us, keeping us. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. All right. Let's start as we mean to go on. Number 76 in the black books, in the wee books. We'll start a bit Christmassy. I think this is the last service before we get into December proper, isn't it? Number 76, let's start a bit Christmassy. This might be as Christmassy as we get this year. I've heard a lot of people saying it just doesn't seem like it at all.
Thank you.
And I looked, and lo, a Lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, with the voice of many waters, and the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers, harping with their harps. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts and the elders. No man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb, whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, and kindred, and tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God, and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven, and earth, and the sea, and the fountains of water. There followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, a great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out mixture into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image, whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yes, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from the labors and their works to be followed them. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat, like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. Another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat in the cloud, Thrust in thy sickle, and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat in the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, where it is in heaven, he was having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, Thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. The angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it onto the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden throughout the city. Blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse riders, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Amen. Amen.
Actually found a prayer list, so if anybody has anything they want to add to the prayer list, November, this is the next one's out on Sunday, isn't it? So if anybody, anything they need to add to the prayer list? Yes, madam.
Thanks that Mama's finally beginning to improve.
Okay, we're over to the thanks.
She still has a long ways to go, but she is seeing progress.
Amen. All right. I got some thanks as well. I think I saved about £250 today by remembering to reuse the old church roof on a project at the house to cover our porch roof. So I'm thankful about that. I was looking for corrugated PVC suppliers in Northern Ireland, and I came up with an old box roof tin supplier, which reminded me of the stuff that I had sitting out in the barn. So, I know it might seem silly, but I'm thankful for that. Okay, if there's no other prayer requests, I take it everybody's still got their private prayer requests. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yes, thank you, Lynn. All right, that's grand. Right, let's have a wee quick prayer, and then we'll continue. Okay. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Father, you know all of our hearts, and you know everything that's going on in the world. You know, Lord, the evil men that have done terrible things. They have the blood of many, many innocent folks, and you know the score on their hands, Lord. I know that it may be that it'll not be until they stand in front of you that they pay for that. And Lord, there's a bit of us that would like to see something done about that right now. But Father, we pray this towards you, that even if they're not to be chastened or stopped in their tracks, Lord, that you would speak to them day in and day out about their wicked deeds. That you would speak to those souls that have slipped and slid away, Lord, and watch over them and keep them and restore them. For those that have compromised, Lord, that they would shore up their Christianity. For those that are downcast, Lord, that you would encourage and strengthen and comfort. But Father, I pray you this day for our daily bread. Please give us what we need, not just for today, Lord, for the rest of it, but for tomorrow as well. Lord, I pray for private prayer requests, and you know each one of those. I pray too for Pat Hain, and thank you for her improvements, for that little thing with the roof, Lord. I just pray for your will to be done. Please watch over us and keep us, and be one of our number, and just open our understanding of the scriptures this evening. And we love you and thank you, Father. Please broaden the borders of Bethel. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's take our big hymn books again. And we will turn to... Well, actually, I said I would have... does anybody have a hymn that they would like for us all to sing this evening? You don't have to have one. But if you have one, I'm more than happy to take it. I have a bunch. Grace, have you got one, Lauren?
305.
305. That's good. That works for me. Let's stand and we'll sing 305. 305, you've not attended it.
Bye.
but would serve us all with the comforters. And number 349, comforter. away for a little bit, take our Bibles out this evening. If you'd like to join me in Genesis chapter 3, I'm going to be reading this chapter, there's 24 verses. Genesis chapter 3. And I'd like to spend a little bit of time this evening, not very long. I don't know about you, but the cold evenings make you want to be at home sitting beside the fire, and the cold mornings make you want to not be outside doing anything. But the only thing about that is you still have to go outside to fill the coal bucket and the wood basket and do all that good stuff. But amen. We've got our heat in here. I pray you're warm enough. We had the heat going all afternoon, just on low, just to raise the temperature up. I know it's not exactly warm, but it's not cold either. Amen. Genesis chapter 3. This is what the Word of God says. The title for the message is On His Way. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said, unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. But unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also, unto his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins, and clothed them. And that's our text this evening, number 21. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also and eat of the tree of life and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence it was taken. So he drove out the man and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims with a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Amen. On His Way is the title for the message this evening. Verse number 21 is our text, where the Lord said to Adam, or where the Lord did for Adam, it says, unto Adam also and his wife, that the Lord God made coats of skins and clothed them. Let's have a quick word with the Lord, and then we'll continue on. Lord, it's that time in the service when we gather around your word, and we're just focusing in on this portion of your word and this theme that runs through your word. I pray you, Lord, for inspiration, for the words, for wisdom, and for remembrance, Lord, and just a consideration of how great you are. Thank you for loving us, Father. Thank you for your Son and for the Holy Spirit. And thank you, Lord, for your word and for the ministrations of angels. Thank you, Lord, for my brothers and sisters in Christ and in the flesh. And Lord, I pray you please that you would put your good hand upon us all and not be done with us. I love you and thank you, Father. Amen. 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 I don't know if you've noticed that whenever I would be maybe with you, sometimes I would get maybe a text from Monica wondering where I am. Because normally we eat about 1 o'clock and about 6 o'clock. And that's just the way ever since I came out of hospital. It's good times for me to eat. Although, don't be asking Norman if I eat anything in between times. But I'll send her a wee text. If she doesn't text me, if it's running late, she'll text me. But if I'm running more or less on time, whenever I leave, wherever it is, I'll send her a wee text to say something along the lines, I'm on my way. Or I'll even give her a little ring, and I will let her know that I am on my way. Now, you're probably wondering what exactly this portion of God's word has to do with that title. Because this verse, everything's going swimmingly, the first two chapters of the Bible. We have a perfect world. And in this is the very sad account of the fall of the whole of mankind. It details Adam and Eve's simple, yet complete, fall from innocence. It also shows us the downright devilment of the devil, the deviousness, and the tricks and the lies and the twisting of the truth that he will use to call that, to cause that sorrow. It shows us also, as we read on, the blame shifting of people who are caught in their sins. Never their fault, it's always somebody else's fault. The only person that will ever accept their sins as their own is the person that comes to the foot of the cross and asks Christ to be their Saviour. It shows you, too, the awful consequences. Because after this, they began to die. And the Lord said that, as he was talking, as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were talking, they said, look, we need to kick them out now. There has to be a separation from us. As well as that, if they take of the tree of life, they'll live forever. They can't have that now. So, they're kicked out. There's consequences for actions. They began to die. They were expelled from the Garden of Eden. They were separated from God. We also see the death of at least one innocent substitute here in verse number 22, where the Lord, well, he takes, verse number 21, he takes coats of skins for Adam and Eve to clothe them, to cover their nakedness. And he didn't just nip into the sheep or the goat's changing room and lift the fleece when no one was looking or when they were in playing basketball. Someone had to shed their blood, someone had to die. Something had to die for that. It's the awful consequences of sin is that unless you're going to bear the shame and the consequences yourself, you need an innocent substitute. So, it shows us that there must be sacrifice for sins, and it is the very, very start of the examples and the types, if you like, of Jesus Christ in the Word of God. And from the very start of these examples to the book of Malachi was about 3,600 years, 3.5 millennia. And throughout all of that time, God was giving us examples of Jesus. Now, I've written a few down. I don't have them all, But these are the ones that maybe would most stick out to us. As we know, the Lord, He's very generous, and He's very patient. He's very long-suffering. And He's more generous and patient than we actually deserve. Because to be honest with you, for all that we have said and done, we probably deserve to be hit by lightning 3 or 4 times, and then someone to come along with a mop to wipe up the greasy spot that's left. Because we don't deserve anything better. We deserve hell, fire, and damnation. And we forget very soon. We forget very, very quickly all the great things that God does for us, says to us, and inspires us. And we would do well during our weekly meditations, to think back on the things that God has done for us. Not very much happening in the world back in Adam and Eve's day, so it's probably a big thing. But as time marched on, and more people appeared, and they got into more and more things, that little detail just became a tale that was told. To some believed in it, and some knew that there had to be shed blood of an innocent sacrifice to enter into the presence of God. Cain and Abel, of course, knew that. But about 1,000 years from there, 1,000 and a bit years, there was a fellow called Noah. And God gave us again the example of what Christ came to do for us in the life of Noah. He said to Noah, there's going to be judgment falling on the earth because people have gotten awful. And I'm going to utterly destroy the world with water. So build a boat, build an ark of salvation. And he did, and he preached as he did it, but he built the ark. The animals went in, Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth and their wives went in. And that was an example of what God would come to do. And it's shown a few times throughout the Bible. God always warns of judgment. God always provides his salvation. God always gives us a chance. But if we don't take that, judgment is going to hit us. If we do take it, we'll be forgiven and we'll get through the judgment or avoid the judgment. But that's the example in Noah. And as we move on, I think back in the day that Abraham knew of Noah, and possibly even knew Noah. Because they both lived, there was a few years of overlap, and I'm sure there weren't too many people in the earth back in the day. In Abraham's day, back in Genesis chapter 22, I don't know if anyone remembers Abraham's son. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that's the three fathers, if you like, of the Jewish people. And Abraham had Isaac after many, many years, whenever he was a very old man. He was the son of promise. And he was the son that Abraham had always wanted. He was the fulfillment of God's promise to him. And God said to him one day, Abraham, take Isaac, your only beloved son, and take him up to a mountain in Moriah and offer him up as a burnt offering. And Abraham did. And it doesn't mean he didn't love the son, but he loved the Lord and he obeyed the Lord, knowing that this was the son of his promise and that whatever way it worked out, it was going to work out. And that's what he did. There's so many crossovers between what Abraham was asked to do and what God himself did for us in offering up his only begotten son. Abraham did that with Isaac. Of course, God did that with his son, Christ Jesus. But as they walked up, he said to Isaac, carry the wood for the burnt offering. And Isaac was carrying the wood. And he says, Dad, where's the sacrifice for the burnt offering? And I have to read these words because these words really got me. It says, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And we know that Abraham tied Isaac up and put him on the wood and he was about to strike him dead when God said, don't hurt the lad. And as they turned around, they found a ram stuck in the bushes by its horns and they took and offered that up. But those words that Abraham said are prophetic. Because God did indeed provide himself as a lamb for a burnt offering. And he provided himself a sacrifice. He provided himself as the sacrifice in his son, and he provided himself a sacrifice that he was satisfied for. So that was Abraham prophesying about what God would come to do, provide his son as a sacrifice. We see also in the day of Lot, Lot was Abraham's nephew, and Lot just wasn't as up on the Bible or in God's commands as Abraham was, and Lot ended up finding himself in Sodom and Gomorrah, one of the most wicked places in the world that is synonymous with some of the unhealthiest lifestyle practices today. Sodom, sodomy. So much government, so much badness, so much violence, even murder was the order of the day. To cut a long story short, God said, I am going to erase the place from the face of the earth. I am going to wipe out Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham bargained God down to Lot and his family. Lord, if there were 10 righteous people in Sodom, would you spare it? And God said, I certainly would. Does anyone ever remember saying the guys in Lot's corner, I'm not asking for £100, I'm not even asking for £50, not 30, not 20, but 10. That's what Abraham did to God. And so, two angels went, and they were going to spend the night in the streets, and Lot knew the way the men were. They would rove about at night looking for people to kill and to rape and to abuse. And he invited them in, and in the morning, he said, we've got to go. The angels said to Lot, we've got to go. And the angels quite literally had to catch a hold of Lot and his wife and his two daughters and run out of the town just before judgment fell. A sort of a catching away or a saving from judgment of those who trust Christ as their Savior. No matter the backslide or the compromise in their lives, they were still saved. That was Lot's day. Does anyone remember the old, is it the Andrew Lloyd Webber coat of many colours? The Technicolor Dream Coat, that's it. I knew it was something like that. That was Joseph. Joseph, the great grandson of Abraham, the son of Jacob, who was renamed Israel. His whole life is a picture of Jesus Christ. He was the well-beloved son. He was rejected by his brethren. He became a servant and a prisoner, but remained faithful. And he was raised again to the right hand of Pharaoh, the king, so that he could save his brethren. That is the life of Joseph in one sentence. And that is a picture of Jesus Christ and what he came to do. He is the well-beloved Son of God Almighty. He became a servant like you and I, so that he could point us to God, and then he gave his life on the cross, remaining faithful unto death, was raised to the right hand of God again, and is sitting and waiting until his enemies be made his footstool, so that he could save us. That was Joseph. Nearly 500 years later, on a slightly simpler and less grand scale, we had, in Joshua's day, the raising to the ground of Jericho. Anyone remember a wee woman by the name of Rahab? Rahab was a prostitute. She was a maker of scarlet, I think, and purple. And Joshua's men were spying out the land just to see who was in it. And two of these spies ended up staying in Rahab's house and hiding out, because Rahab was faithful. And even though she was a prostitute, and even though she was a stranger, she had faith in God. And that faith in God Applying that faith to God's people saved her and saved her whole family. In all of these things, Christ has mentioned his life, the salvation that he offers, the catching away that for once you're saved, judgment can't fall on you and you must be taken out of the way to let that be. And in the life of Rahab and her family, it doesn't matter who you are. Anybody can come to God. It's an open invitation. And for by even the example in people's lives, you have the laws that God gave. And most especially, the law of the great high priest, who was commanded once every year to go into the holiest of holies with the blood of bulls and goats, as a type of Christ entering once into the presence of God with his own blood. A lot of people say, oh, blood. Why is it always blood in the Christian faith? And I'm going to tell you why I sat and thought about that. It's because it's so very, very serious. The breaking of God's laws. And the penalty and the cost of covering is with life itself. It is as serious as death. We've also got a bunch of the prophecies that went down in the Old Testament. We had Daniel, who gave us the timeline between when the Messiah would ride into Jerusalem, 483 years after the command to rebuild Jerusalem in Nehemiah. You had in Malachi the promise of Elijah coming back, and as the Lord said, this is John the Baptist to make straight his paths. In Zechariah 9, chapter 9, we had this little bit of prophecy about Messiah. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon the colt of a foal of an ass. In Deuteronomy 21 and 33, it says, he that is hanged on the tree is accursed of God. And that's what Christ came to be. He came to become a curse for us, that we could have the Lord's blessings forever. And probably one of the greatest descriptions of God Almighty, of his Son, is in Isaiah 53. Of all of the things that Jesus done, you could find a verse in Isaiah 53 to cover them. And every single one of these examples, of these prophecies, of these laws and statutes and commands were to take the minds and the hearts of generations of God's people and prepare them to recognize and to worship Christ as their Savior, as the Messiah. And it just goes to show you, even with that there, as a national, as a cultural, as a part of their culture, that even bad men were still in the business of turning good people away from God, helping them be comfortable with bad things. But even at that, there's always a few souls praying and seeking for the Lord and spotting them when he gets here. And we know that he did. From the Gospels, from the 3 years of ministry, and from the few excerpts from his early life, all his words and all his deeds were a confirmation of all of these things, and people could look at him and say, it's the Messiah. Some people that loved, say, the book of Jeremiah said, he's like Jeremiah. Some people that read about in 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel said, he's like Samuel. People that read the Judges said, oh, he's like Moses the lawgiver. Everyone saw the bit of God that they were familiar with, or the bit of God that they needed. And whenever they followed all of these things, they knew this is the Messiah. As one of the characters in the Gospel said, when Messiah comes, will he do more things than this Jesus Christ has already done? Will he feed more thousands? The only person who's ever done that in the past in the wilderness was God Almighty, as the children of Israel worked their way through the wilderness. The only person that could control the weather. The only person that could raise the dead to life. The only person that could cast out demons. Jesus. All of these things that were written in the Old Testament were a sign to God's people that he is on his way. And whenever he got here, they were to show the people that this is him. Now this is only the first part of about three messages, and we'll get them all in before Christmas. But he is on his way still, and we will come to that. Very sadly rejected by his people and brought great amounts of sorrow and destruction upon the Jewish people. But bear in mind, the Bible says that we're grafted in. And one of the promises that God made to Abraham was, I will bless them that bless you, and I will curse them that curse you. If you're grafted into the salvation promised to the Jewish people, you're grafted into his promises. And we have had the Savior and his ministrations to us for 2,000 years. The Bible says again, even in them rejecting the best thing that ever happened to the world was only ever a fulfillment of prophecy. I am not glad that they rejected Christ, but I am glad that we as a creature have had him for 2,000 years, and that I as a person have had him as my Savior for 34. Amen. Stop him there. He is coming back. He's coming back again. And we might get to see it from the sky. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your good attention. I have got a couple of hymns. Does anybody have a... Well, no, you know what? We're going to... Have you got one, Mrs. Bradfield?
As soon as I can. What do you have?
I just want to sing the first Noel. Okay. 421 in the big books. 421, we'll stand as we sing the first Noel.
Angels, it seems.
Let's close our eyes and we'll be dismissed with a prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this time. Around your word, considering the big picture or slightly bigger version of the picture we normally see. I pray that you put your good hand upon us, see us safely home, Lord. Thank you for loving us and watching over us. And please, Lord, even now, please work in the hearts and the minds of people all over the country and the world. Please point them to you. I love you and praise you. Let us not be found wanting when you need us, Lord. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a lovely day.